You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Okay, let's do some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. That's obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. To reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Here's the thing. Information is power. Information is money. Literally, the currency of today's world of entrepreneurship is information. And if you could bring all of the information about your business into one dashboard, this is incredibly valuable. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of the truth about your business. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. This is so valuable. You just hit a button and you can see all the information about your business instead of having to like call five different departments and get all these emails and put it all together and make sense of it. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/James. netsuite.com/James. netsuite.com/James.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show.
Brian, have we met before? I looked through my emails, and I have an email from a Brian Deem from like way back, from like a otcpicks.com.
It wasn't me back then. That was a different okay. Brian Deem. No,
wait,
we haven't
how many Brian Deem out there?
I went to school with a Brian Deem too. I was curious if you were Persian.
There's a few out there. There's like a famous Australian rules rugby player that I had to outrank for a while. When I first started, he was number one in Google for all the stuff, and I've slowly
screw
eliminated
him.
Yeah, and there's some math professor at Clemson I've also kind of destroyed. So now I'm like dominate the first page. But there used to be a lot, and now as far as Google is concerned, there's only one.
You should have an exploding topic article about Brian Deem.
Oh yeah, he's blowing
basically
up
how
right
searches
now.
For you have gone up, you know, 300% over the past 5 years. And here's what's next. Brian Deem is gonna have a promo for his high-end newsletter that's only gonna last 2 weeks, so you might as well get it now because he's exploding.
Exactly.
I just wrote marketing copy for you.
Yeah, thank you. So I'll say, send me the invoice after the episode.
So Brian, I've been reading your newsletter, Exploding Topics, and it's so fascinating. Every day I get this new newsletter with a chart, and the chart always starts off in 2017, something was really small, and now in 2021, it's huge, and maybe in 2022, it's going to be even bigger. So for instance, Snail Mucin has a 233% increase, you know, since 2018, or because people are following this K-pop beauty trend. Korean cosmetic exports have grown an average of 26 per year since 2015. We'll get to Snail Mucin in a second, but every day you have this obscure data, whether it's about supplements or clothes or software, or there's one for a massage gun called Sportnir, and globally searches for massage gun are up 3,233% in the past 2 years. Who would know, being economic lockdown, everybody would need massages so much. And then you say, what's next? Like, what does this mean for the overall trend? But what I'm always curious about is, and I'm just getting right to it, and we'll talk about some of the exploding topics, but I always want to know, what do I do with this information? Like, if I'm entrepreneurial minded, it seems like every one of these could be a business. Like, here's something I never heard of from January 12th. Searches for portable washing machines are up 144% over the last 5 years. And I'm looking at it, starts off small, it has spiked high. So what's a portable washing machine?
It's just like it sounds. It's a washing machine that you basically install in your sink. So the water flows in from your sink and the dirty water flows back into the sink. And it's, as people were really concerned about going to laundromats, and a lot of laundromats were closed, people didn't have a hookup for a washing machine in their apartment. So they're looking for this portable washing machine solution. And that's why searches spiked for that.
And who even, I honestly have never even heard of a portable washing machine. Like, who even makes portable washing machines?
There's tons of them on Amazon. I'd never heard of them either, but there's portable everything now. Portable blenders are really big. It's kind of a meta trend that's a bunch of different portable things. Like portable bidets are trending right now too. People want a bidet that they can take on the road or just use in their house because they don't want to actually install a bidet in their house. So that's another portable device that's blowing up.
I see this one. So searches per month, 8.1K for portable bidet. Growth is 209% over the past 5 years. And so let's say this looks to me like, oh, okay, this is a trend that's going to continue, particularly now that people are getting back to traveling and people are also used to the comforts of home. I think what's happened is, in this case, people are not comfortable anymore having the comforts of home and replacing it all day long with the discomforts of the office or travel or whatever. So let's say this, I feel this is a trend that's going to continue. And, you know, you make a reasonable case about the growth, 209% growth, and then you always give a little bit of an argument of why this is happening, and you relate it to other products like portable fridge, portable washing machine, portable sauna, which we could talk about next. But what do I do with this? I'm going to get into the portable bidet business. Maybe there's room for me still. Is it too late? Once I see it on Exploding Topics, your newsletter, is it too late for me to get into the business?
Usually not. We try to surface stuff pretty early. And we especially focus on trends that aren't fads, that are trends that have legs that will probably continue based on our data. Impossible to predict the future, obviously, but we try to pick trends, especially the ones that we feature in the newsletter, that aren't fads, that are going to come and go, you know, in a week. We want things that are going to be around for a year. So they're trends, but they're trends that have legs and lasting power. In terms of what you do with it, it depends. We have a few different use cases that most people want these trends for investing purposes of some kind, whether it's investing in startups. VCs are our main, like, we basically create the newsletter and our paid product for VCs. They want to know this stuff. So when a portable bidet startup comes in their office, they're like, oh my God, I've heard of that already. I mean, that's obviously a crazy example, but in terms of SaaS or another D2C category, you know, VCs want to know this stuff. Also, people that sell on Amazon or run e-commerce sites, they want to know these trending product categories so they can put them on their site while the going's hot. And some big brands, sometimes they want to know what to get into next, right? They're a big company that has tons of divisions and they're like, we need to make products. Oh, well, let's have a meeting about portable bidets and we can maybe make them.
Yeah, so like, for instance, you said earlier this year, Red Bull ran a basement innovation competition, and out of 3,800 products, a portable washing machine came out on top. So you're looking all over the place for your data. So we'll get into what do I do with this information in a second? But like, you do about 3 charts a day, and then you have charts for your pro product. Where do you get your data? Where do you look? How do you decide? You just spoke a little bit of how do you decide, but where do you get all this amazing data?
So we basically scrape it from different pockets of the web that tend to surface trends before they start to take off. So a big one is Reddit. So we basically scrape not most subreddits, but a lot of subreddits that tend to have conversations around technology or health. And or even in health, we try to focus on subreddits where people are sort of on the cutting edge of this stuff, you know, people that take freeze-dried organs and stuff like that. So we're looking at carnivore diet subreddits, the OMAD subreddit, where people are more likely to say, hey, I just heard of this thing on Instagram. Have you guys heard of it? And they put it out there. So basically, we scrape that. We scrape Reddit. We scrape social media, podcasts, show notes, because those, a lot of times people just mention, oh, I just heard of this thing, blah, 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 and they mention it. We also look at shopping sites, so data from Amazon and other big e-commerce sites. And it basically scrapes millions and millions and millions and millions of these data points. And the algorithm says, this is a trend. This is not a fad. And it pulls it into a queue. And then we have a moderator who works part-time, but a lot, to curate all of the trends. And I would say for every 10 trends or 20 trends that it finds, one gets through, if that. It might be more like 1 to 50 now. We're a lot pickier than we used to be. So it's a lot of curation because it's just so much noise, especially with the news. You get like a news item. It looks like a trend, but it's really going to, you know, in 2 weeks, no one's going to be talking about it. So we have that curation process to make sure these are legitimate trends and not fads. We have conversations about this all the time, like what's a trend, what's a fad, but you kind of know it when you see it.
So let's say I want to make portable bidets. What would be my first step, do you think? And I'm not saying that you're an expert on how to make all these products that you talk about. I appreciate that you're uncovering the trends and it's up to the entrepreneur to figure it out. But I'm just always amazed, like, how do you make things?
You can go to Alibaba and find tons of factories that'll make it for you. You can also make a prototype yourself with 3D printing, which is what a lot of people do now, and then do a Kickstarter and raise money that way. And then when they get the funds, they can manufacture it. But 3D printing is usually how most people start with a physical product now. They create it and then they take it to a factory and they say, can you make, you know, 1,000 of these, 10,000 of these?
Wow. So you can make something like a portable bidet with a 3D printer?
Definitely. That's easy to make because it's all plastic.
So like here's, for instance, a portable bidet that's $7, but a US site, hellotushy.com, it's $30. So is that, you know, and we always talk about drop shipping as a side hustle. You should get into it. But is it realistic? Can I buy on Alibaba for $7 and then sell on Amazon or some other site for $30?
It usually takes some more finessing than that. There's this rule, I forget what it's called. It's like 150 that a lot of people were doing. That was a trend like a year ago during the height of the pandemic where people were buying these cheap products like a portable bidet for $7 or blue light blocking glasses, which were big. They'd buy these cheap ones for $7, create this brand, premium brand, like really high end to really emphasize the health benefits, something the cheap one wasn't doing. And then they would sell it for 50. So they buy, I think it was $5.50 or something, buy it for $5.50. So these crazy margins. And people were doing that. Now, I have no idea how practical that is, but that's one way people are taking advantage of the trends is they're buying these products for cheap and then slapping a different brand on them and selling them under their own brand on Amazon or on their own site.
Yeah, like there's a big public company, Mohawk, that does something like this. They'll take 100-year-old brands like Igloo Ice Boxes, that don't really have an internet presence, but they've been around 100 years, and they'll go to the same factory in China and say, look, every other box now coming off the assembly line, put our brand on it. And then they game the Amazon algorithm, which Igloo has no clue Amazon even exists, and within days, they're number one on Amazon. And they do this for hundreds of SKUs, hundreds of millions of revenues. It's like a great thing. But I'm just always curious if like the drop shipping, I feel for a while that was a fad in side hustling, but I think it probably still works to some extent.
Probably, yeah. I mean, a new thing that's trending relates to that is called drop servicing.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw that on one of your newsletters. Tell me about that one.
It's basically drop shipping for labor or services. So a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll go on Fiverr and find a gig that works well. They'll test out a bunch of gigs, find one where the person delivers something good, and then they'll look on Upwork and other job boards for projects related to that gig and charge, let's say, 50, and then they'll buy a Fiverr gig for $5 or $10 and then be the middleman between the two and just deliver the service to Fiverr or just hire someone cheap.
There's an incredible arbitrage there. So it begs the question, why isn't someone who's using Upwork just go to Fiverr and do the same thing?
Because maybe people don't trust Fiverr. They're like, I don't trust Fiverr, but I trust Upwork, having no idea that the stuff they're getting is actually from Fiverr at the end of the day.
I might do that. For instance, I might use Upwork instead of Fiverr. I say, look, I don't want to have to call India at 3 a.m. to find out if they're working on my job. I'm paying you to do this.
Right. And it's not shady at all. I mean, if you're doing the process, you're maybe testing out 20 Fiverr gigs, finding two that are good, you know, you're doing the work of finding the two that are good and you're just charging a premium for it. That person, like you or me, I'm the same way. I just go to Upwork and I'm like, I just want the best person. I'll pay whatever. But someone that's shopping around might go on Fiverr, but there's plenty of suckers like us who will happily pay somebody and they're charging whatever. And I don't even care if it comes from Fiverr. If it's good and it's, you know, the rate I agree to, I'm fine with it.
So here's one of the exploding topics. And this one I really relate to because I've got wax in one of my ears. I could barely hear out of one of my ears. And I just keep delaying going to the doctor. But searches for ear cleaning kits are up 226% over the last 2 years. What are they? Ear cleaning kits typically contain silicone wax removers, metal picks, irrigation systems, and I guess it cleans out your ear, something I need. And I wonder to myself, why did I never think to like buy one of these or make one of these? Again, it's such a great entrepreneurial thing. How did you come across this?
That one, I mean, I don't know that one in specific. I mean, we have like, we track like almost 10,000 trends right now. So I don't know where all of them came from, but that one sounds like it came from Amazon. That's usually one of those niche products that wives are buying for their husbands, it sounds like, because I know my wife bought one for me.
So. And then does Amazon track, let you see the data of how much is up over the past 2 years?
No. We use our own proprietary thing for determining, a proprietary system for determining the searches that are going up. But for finding the actual term, Amazon just, I mean, they're all public, the product pages, and they also have a trending section on their site. So they feature trending stuff. Most of it's, you know, specific products that aren't that good. But if you scrape enough of Amazon and just query it and say, how many searches is it getting? How is it growing? You'll find some gems in there.
So I'm going to go to Alibaba for ear cleaning kit, a dollar or two. And here's an earwax removal kit at Walmart for $22. So clearly that's a profitable business. How would you go about like getting branding? How do you see people getting branding for stuff like this? Like, how do they get known once they start doing it?
Mostly they don't. These people, most of them, if they're just, they're just going to be like, I'm going to be the ear cleaning kit brand. They just create fly-by-night brands and just go full Instagram, Facebook ads. Most of them don't have any organic presence. Maybe they do a little bit of Instagram. It depends on the trend. Like if you're like, oh, I see this trend of ear health, and I want to create this ear health product brand where I do ear cuffs and ear seeds, which is big too now, which are basically
magnets. What's an ear seed?
It's basically these magnets you put in your ear that are like acupressure, and they're supposed to heal different stuff. My acupuncture guy actually uses them. So if you're like, I want to create this ear health brand, some people are creating entire brands around these trends. But most of them that are going after these specific products are just buying them from Alibaba or somewhere cheap, creating a Facebook ads campaign and just crushing it on there because they know Facebook ads. They know nothing about fulfillment. So like you said, it's mostly drop shipping in that case.
So like, for instance, they do a Facebook ad, they collect the orders, and then they tell the Chinese factory where to send all the products.
Exactly. Kind of like you're saying with Igloo. They don't know anything about digital marketing, but they know how to make an awesome cooler. It's the opposite. These guys know how to run Facebook ads. They know how to create a brand really quickly, get it off the ground, start running Facebook ads. We have no idea how to actually create a product or do product development. So they just buy stuff off the shelf that they can pretty much get right away from Alibaba or somewhere.
I love this one, magnesium gummies, because I hear all the time, you need more magnesium. You need more magnesium. But I hate taking supplements and pills and stuff, but I love gummy bears. So this was a trend. Let me look up what the statistics were that you say. I wrote down magnesium gummies in my notes. And I think this was a recent one. This is from a couple weeks ago, July 13th. They're high dose magnesium supplements in gummy form. Studies suggest that up to 75% of people don't meet their recommended daily intake of magnesium, which is leading to increased demand for magnesium gummy bears. And the supplement category has grown from 8 million to 14 million over the past 2 years. And sales of supplements have grown by magnesium gummy supplements have grown by 130%. So again, I would go to Alibaba and say, hey, I want James's magnesium gummies. And then I would just go all over the place advertising, you know, doing classic marketing for gummy bears.
Exactly. Or say you're a supplement brand and you want to create a blog post or a video about magnesium gummies. Now you're going to get in on this keyword early before it starts to take off. So that's another way that you can use it. You don't necessarily have to like create a product around each of them. Although that's obviously the like what most people are going to do.
Now, do you need any kind of FDA approval to sell like a vitamin supplement?
No, famously, you don't. There's no regulation at all. I mean, you're liable if you produce something like that damage that hurts people, but there's almost no regulations with supplements.
So in this one, you say you use data from retail analytics company ClearCut. So there's a lot of companies out there also that you pay a lot of money to see these high-end reports. What does Clearcut do?
They're like a online retail analytics company. They track sales and things of that nature. That was just a stat we pulled from there. But yeah, there is a lot of these services that are like market research that they have proprietary data from who knows, some of them. You have no idea if it's like Ukrainian spyware or whatever, but they get it and you can buy it. So some of it's useful for supporting some of the trends. Like if you look at portable washing machines, you're like, I don't know anything about this. Sometimes it's good to supplement with these other services and figure out how many people are actually buying this stuff instead of just searching for it. What is the average sale? How much how much are people making on Amazon per month, which you can estimate using some tools, things like that.
And what's some of the, I mean, all these topics always amaze me because I think to your curation, and none of these things I've ever heard, most of these things I've never heard of before, like even in industries which I'm familiar with, like I didn't know what a credit builder card was, but you say searches for credit builder cards are up 1,257% over the last 5 years. And a credit builder card is a credit card designed for people with no credit history or low credit scores. So to reduce the bank's risk, these cards are typically secured by a refundable deposit in the amount of the credit limit. So what does that mean? Somebody gives me a credit builder card and then they give me a $100 limit and I give them $100 just so I could build my credit score?
It's basically a debit card that's not tied to a bank and it doesn't withdraw from your bank account. It's you have a credit on the credit card, so it builds up your credit score, but you can't ever like default on or anything. And there's interest payments and all that stuff, but usually the limit is like $100, $500 or something like that. But they're blowing up because so many people have bad credit and it's hard to get a credit card with bad credit. So these are like a hack that people are using. They're getting these credit cards with these tiny limits and just buying stuff, paying it off, and that pumps up their credit score.
Yes, it's totally true. Airbnb has changed my life. If anything, they have made my life so much better. Like I used to live in Airbnbs. I lived in over 100 or 200 different Airbnbs over a 3-year period. And I loved it. I became a really good guest of Airbnbs and I got to know lots of hosts. So when I initially owned a house, of course, the first thing I thought was I'm going to turn my house into an Airbnb because I travel a lot. So why leave my house unused when I can make a side income by letting others Airbnb my house or come to stay in my house as guests? And having my own Airbnb or being a host for Airbnb has allowed me to do just that. And I've met other hosts. I've actually spoken at Airbnb's host conference. I think it was in 2017. I met so many just nice hosts. It's a great community. And I love, you know, turning my own home into an Airbnb. Like I'm traveling to Austin next month. My home's going to be an Airbnb while I'm away, and I'll stay in an Airbnb. I'd rather stay in like a 3-story house Airbnb than in one tiny hotel room in the middle of Austin during South by Southwest. So listen, while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who are just letting their house sit empty, who've never thought about it or didn't realize their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, then you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. I remember last year I was asked to go speak at the Norway Business Summit, and I was so excited because side by side with the Business Summit was the Norway Chess Summit, where I would get to see in person Magnus Carlsen, the best chess player ever, playing chess. But it was 4 plane rides, like to get to the city that ultimately I would go to. So I really did not want to fly for 14 hours, and they were willing to pay for everything for me. So I at first class. So I didn't want to fly for 14 hours and not be first class. So I had to hurry up and get on the phone immediately to get those first class tickets to a chess tournament in Norway. And listen, this is just like when, you know, you have to know when you want the best of anything, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. And I did not want those seats to fill up. So it's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. I was just talking to a friend this morning where he was trying to decide between some programmers and he waited a little too long and both the programmers he was interviewing took other jobs, like great jobs. So, you know, what's the best way then to hire the best as quickly as possible? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/James. Just try it and see. You'll find out. So ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify the top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I know this because one time I signed up as an employee, potential employee on ZipRecruiter, and I got nonstop, really, I was, even though obviously I wasn't looking for a job, I love what I do, but I just wanted to see what would happen because they were a sponsor of my podcast. And the most interesting jobs would pop up in my emails like, hey, you're qualified for this or that. And so it's interesting to see. So just go there and try it. Try ZipRecruiter.com/James. Amp up your hiring performance. Now, this is more for if you're hiring, but amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/James. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Back to snail mucin, which I love. Apparently, this is a great beauty product in the Korean cosmetic exports trend, which has grown 26% per year, which is a huge growth. What would I do with snail mucin?
I mean, you put it on your face.
I'm just pounding you on it.
No, I don't mind. I'm just saying for snail mucin, if you're a beauty brand that's like, oh, let's go, you know, what category are we going to go into next? This might be something that wasn't even on your radar screen. And now you're like, let's look into this. And even if you don't end up making a snail mucin topical cream, you might say, let's look at some other K-beauty products that are trending because K-beauty is just blowing up right now. So let's look at some other K-beauty products that we can include or create a K-beauty regimen. K-beauty is this like 11-step process you do every night. So let's position our products that you use 11 of them at night, just like K-beauty. So there's different ways to go about it, but how you'd actually get snail mucin, that one's going to be a lot harder than Alibaba because it's literally the slime from a snail in an extract.
You know what's also interesting though is, and you've pointed this out in many different letters, how in almost every category, subscription boxes are trending up. And in part, this was due to the economic lockdown. Like I, for the first time, started getting subscription box meals during the lockdown to try to eat healthy. And I really enjoyed the whole subscription box thing. I didn't think I would. So potentially someone could make a K-beauty subscription box for the dropshippers themselves. Like we'll send you all the basic ingredients, you brand it however you want.
Yeah, that's smart. Like combining the two things, combine the two trends. That people like subscription boxes, so.
There's subscription boxes in almost every category.
Oh yeah, there's tons of them. I mean, the big one now is like international food. So snacks from Japan and Korea and all these international snacks, Colombia, that you can get these snacks every month that are very exotic. Like, because as I'm sure you know, James, from going overseas, sometimes you see this chips, you're like, what is that? Like, it doesn't even look great. That's like a squid on the package. So you can get those every month and those are blowing up right now. Like Boxu box, that's the big Japanese one, an Asian one. That one's up like 5,000% over the last 5 years or something like that. 79, actually I have it right here, 7,900%.
I feel like you need a lot of energy to get into one of these businesses because you can't, you have to actually deal with physical products. And so there's only so many, like if I were to make a bet on a physical product to sell, you're betting that the product is trending upwards, but that's the research I get through you. You're betting that you can execute on it and make it. You're betting that you can do marketing better than the other. A lot of these are not quite commodities, but like, as you say, there's many competitors who see these trends, and that's why it's trending upwards. And you have to kind of do marketing better than all of them. So how do you think, if I were to just, and if I'm listening to this and thinking, I want to check out the Exploding Topics newsletter and see, what's the latest massage gun? What's the latest snail mucin? What's the latest, anti-aging gummy bear? Where I like these prebiotics gummy bears. Or there was one, bladder rack, which...
The seaweed.
But it's a form of seaweed rich in iodine and magnesium and vitamin C. And it can treat thyroid disorders, inflammation, heartburn, anxiety, and more. Or soothe, irritate. See, I thought it was for the bladder, actually. But now I'm reading this and it's for all these other things. And it's part of the food grade beauty products meta trend. How would I, listening to this, decide which one to do?
I mean, it's a couple of things. One is like, do you have an interest or specialty in that area? And I should point out, there are some, we have plenty of trends that aren't physical products. Video that are SaaS.
A lot of software trends.
Yeah, a lot, because that's obviously huge. Crypto trends are obviously huge. NFTs, DeFi, decentralized finance. But yeah, in terms of the physical products, part of it would be like, what can I bring to the table? Because like you said, James, anyone can just make a bladder whack supplement or make a portable bidet. But if you're interested in that, if you're passionate about that area, that space, then you're going to have an edge over everybody else when you launch it. Or if you have an existing audience in that space. So let's say you're like an influencer in the health space. You're like, I launched my own portable bidet. You're going to sell them out, sell them more than some random person with no audience. So yeah, a lot of these products are also influencers are creating their own brands and selling this stuff on their own. They're looking at these products that are trending, creating their own branded version and selling them to their audience who are super loyal, as you know.
What are the ones that you've seen recently that excite you the most? Software or physical or whatever?
Yeah, well, the interesting one for me is all the video production software and...
Oh,
that
yeah,
space
I saw you mentioned
huge.
VideoProc.
Yeah, VideoProc. Veed is another one that's big right now. UCut, VideoLeap. They're just these very accessible video editing tools because I think, James, you're like me. You've been in the game for a while. You remember how it used to be to edit a video. It was like you had to
impossible.
Have a PhD. It was impossible. Yeah. It was crazy. Now they're basically like not as easy as uploading a video to Instagram, but not that far off. They have all these intuitive features. They stripped out a lot of stuff. And the same with podcasting, like the scripts and things like that. There's a lot of action in that space. So I like that space a lot. I have a YouTube channel. So I have someone edit my videos, but even the ones I make on my phone, I'm always like, I wish it was an easier way to edit this. It's always so complicated. And now there's software launched from the start just for people that aren't tech savvy, just for people to post on social media.
And they kind of take one or two features and make it very easy to do those features like a jump cut or something like that.
Exactly. So you just click a button and it does a thing. Like it's more or less you've uploaded a video that's just like 5 minutes. You can just use your finger. A lot of them are mobile apps. You could just drag the area you want to cut it, put it together. You can do transitions and fades and graphics and all that stuff. And it's just if you've used one, it's like a revelation that this. I can't believe it wasn't always like this. I can't believe I was messing around.
I think some people might be listening to this and say, well, I don't know software. How would I do it? But it's really not that hard to hire on Fiverr or freelance or whatever, somebody who will do it for maybe a few $1,000s and it's a simple app and they'll set you up in the app store. There might even be easier ways. There's no code sites now. No code is a big thing that's trending. So like, how would you make a simple video editing piece of software?
Yeah, I would also outsource. I don't know how to code myself. I have a co-founder that is the coder that developed the whole system and algorithm that we use, and he would be able to build it in like a day. But for me, I would definitely be on Upwork saying, I need help. I don't even know what to do. But not all software has to be that complicated, right? I mean, one of the big the trends, a startup that we found super early that just got acquired was Wave. I don't know if you're familiar with them, James, as a podcaster. It's basically software to help you share clips from your podcast. Because as you know, no one wants to watch a whole podcast like on Twitter or on YouTube. So people like to splice them up. And this was a way to take audio from your podcast that's maybe like 30 seconds and share it on Twitter. And just they made it easy. Not, I'm sure like the tech behind it's not that complicated. They're not ex-Google engineers. They're actually a couple of guys in South Carolina. And they built this thing, took it to like 1.5 million ARR and just sold it a couple months ago. So the software doesn't have to, and they just got into that trend that was like podcasts, people were creating podcasts and they didn't know how to get the word out. And they made it a little bit easier.
How did they get the word out?
They said they used mostly SEO. In the beginning, they reached out to podcasts and they basically give podcasters free accounts. We're like, hey, we'll hook you up with a free account. You can just share your clips. And podcasters, I don't know if all of them, but a lot of them are like, this is great. This is helpful. You know, right now I'm just sharing my whole hour on YouTube. No one's watching. I don't know how to share a clip on social media. I'm not tech savvy. And they made it so you could just take a clip from an episode and share it on Twitter really easily. And it plays within Twitter and it plays within Facebook. So you don't have to go to the person's site. So that was, you know, kind of innovative in a way. But like you said, like it's definitely something, like you said, James, you could get an Upwork. Someone could do that for you.
What do you see trending in crypto?
The big thing is like our accessible DeFi products. So things related to like either staking or just savings accounts, crypto savings accounts, things that are more mainstream. So I've seen in the last couple of months, this transition from, I call it like DeFi 1.0 to DeFi 2.0, which is DeFi 1.0 was like the infrastructure behind it all. That's where you have like blockchains and protocols and all that stuff. That's the layer. That's kind of like the old, the internet. And now we're seeing like the World Wide Web on top of that. And that's where all these very accessible, like BlockFi is a huge one. That's just an accessible way to do all this stuff. Now, Coinbase is kind of an example, but they only do crypto. But if you wanted to like create a crypto savings account and do staking on it, you can't do that. And there's plenty of new startups that are coming out or about to launch that are in that space that are just making it more accessible, this whole like kind of what was a shady thing, you know, trading crypto and all that stuff. So, and actually we're seeing a lot of action in NFTs. It's not totally dead, especially in fashion. So a lot of brands are launching NFT versions of their shoes, of their, you know, shorts or whatever. And those are still growing as searches for NFTs are dropping. So there's probably niche use cases for NFTs that are going to stick around. And it looks like fashion is one of them. In fact, a VC reached out to me after we featured one in a newsletter a little while ago. And he was like, we're really getting into this space. Like, who do you guys know in this space? NFT fashion is going to be like the next big thing.
I don't even understand. Like, why would someone buy like a digital image of a shoe instead of a shoe?
You're talking to the wrong. I mean, some of them, one digital shoe sold for $25,000. It was a pair, actually. It's just a pair of shoes. But when it's digital, it doesn't matter if it's one or two, which is to me is craziness. But like NFT, and that was after NFTs, like that whole NFT craziness died down. So they're still selling despite the NFT craze sort of leveling out.
What's one of the pro trends that you've seen recently that kind of blew you away? And I should mention the Exploding Topics Pro is your for-pay service. I don't know how you distinguish between the topics and what you do differently.
Yeah, I mean, most of it is we feature them early. So you get earlier access to the topics. We don't share them for like at least 6 months to a year outside of the pro. So the big one that's really interesting for me is our cleaning tablets. That is this kind of like niche trend that these companies are getting funded left and right and no one is talking about them. They're basically, instead of buying a bulk thing of laundry detergent or dishwashing liquid, you get a tablet that you can dilute and use the same container over and over again. So it's like an eco-friendly version. And a lot of these are subscription-based. So they're these startups that are like, instead of buying your laundry detergent at the store, we'll send you these tablets, you know, on repeat once a month. And they only sell that way. They only sell D2C and they only sell in tablet form. And those are like, for me, that's an interesting one that we share that I don't hear a lot of people talking about. And a lot of these companies are getting not huge funding rounds, but like seed funding rounds. So there's some traction there. They're already getting sales, already getting customers, and it's recurring revenue, which is pretty rare, you know, for the cleaning.
Because they're doing the subscription thing?
You can only get them from by subscription. And people are happy to do it because it's eco-friendly approach, which people are really concerned about single-use plastic, right? So you can get sometimes they have pictures like 100 dishwashing liquid containers. It's like a tiny pack of tablets and you just dilute them in your house.
How do you stand out in that space?
A lot of influencer marketing. So there's a lot of influencer marketing about like minimalist lifestyle, eco-friendly, kind of like mommy blogs, but on Instagram, you know, those natural mommy blogs where they share the recipes and stuff, but they've kind of moved to Instagram and they'll share their like, oh, I just look at this cleaning tab. I just used it and it turned into like a gallon of dishwashing liquid that I can use and sponsored by whatever.
I would think influencer marketing would be very successful. Like if you find a good TikToker and you say, listen, I use this cleaning tablet for all my laundry and, you know, I'm trying to live a healthier lifestyle, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I mean, influencer marketing is overall trending up only a little bit, but like you said, James, TikTok is huge. Like searches for TikTok influencers are up 99X over the last 5 years. It's just completely going crazy because all these Instagram influencers are really expensive. They're not even responding to a lot of outreach. And on TikTok, like you said, people are just more engaged there and influencers are more likely to team up with you basically. And that's another one that's in the paid that we talk about a lot now is media on the blockchain. So blockchain tech, instead of using it for currency, using it for media, like Audius, which is like Spotify on the blockchain, LivePeer, which is like streaming, like Twitch on the blockchain. Because a lot of people are concerned about censorship on these platforms. So they're creating basically blockchain decentralized versions of social media networks. And it's really early with this stuff, but they're really interesting because it's decentralized, but also because they're monetizing the creators directly. So for example, with Steemit, which is kind of like a Facebook on the blockchain, you get paid for actually posting engaging content. So when people engage with their content, you get paid with it. So it incentivizes you to post engaging stuff. So for me, that's another area that's really cool.
So it seems like you have the Exploding Topics Pro. Here's another idea for you. You should do Exploding Topics how-to. So for each product, the 4-pay version of today's issue will tell me how step by step how I can implement each product. And maybe you pick one of the topics and you do an interview with someone who's generated 1,000x, you know, growth in the past year, something like that.
That's a good idea.
I would pay for that.
You want to get into the portable bidet space?
I would certainly read about someone who's doing it.
Okay.
That's a good idea. And then, or magnesium gummies, I would pay. Like, how do you make a gummy bear? I would want to know. Or maybe there's even like on, you know, these sites like Flippa or Empire Builders where you could buy small businesses. Maybe there's businesses for sale even doing some of these things. And then another thing is, have you ever thought about doing some kind of like small private equity fund or a venture capital firm or something like that's based on the newsletter?
Yes, I definitely have. And I mean, I've invested in stuff we find in the crypto space because that's just the easiest to get started. Like you see a coin, an altcoin blowing up and you just invest in it. But other than that, I have considered, I'm an angel investor myself. So I've definitely considered creating something around this to find these startups early, reach out to them, maybe before they have funding, like an angel seed round, reach out to them and say, we're trending, we want to get involved.
Like with crypto, is there any specific kind of chatter you see before an altcoin goes from one exchange to being uplisted to a more important exchange?
Oh yeah, there's usually a huge spike. A lot of times by then it's not too late, but it depends on the coin. But usually I try to find them when they're still on those shady exchanges. That's when the real growth is. Not always. There's some that go on, you know, a big one and they still continue to grow. But the real growth is usually those early stages. But it depends. Usually it's like for altcoins, it's like a spike as it comes out. So the ICO, then it drops off and then it gets momentum behind it. People into the projects, maybe they announce a new project, it starts to blow up and then it's kind of dips and then it goes on the other made, you know, a bigger exchange like Kraken or whatever, and it starts to blow up. So that second, I usually don't get involved in ICOs and that, but that second spike is usually pretty solid.
Yeah, if you see like a kind of common trend in the chatter about it before it gets uplisted to a Kraken or something like that, that might be an interesting newsletter just all by itself, just a crypto-based one.
That's a good idea.
So, I mean, I think there's so many ways you could build your business, which is why I loved, I always love getting the newsletter in the email and opening it and seeing, oh, Snail Mucin, time to research this little business idea. But I would pay more. I would pay to see like interviews with people who are doing it and how they're doing it. Like, I think that could be, you know, an exciting, you know, even if it's just one topic a week or one topic every 2 weeks, you could build a really good database of stories that you could access and that people want to know how to do these things. Like, I'm always at a loss, and I've built plenty of businesses, but I'm always at a loss, like how to start a business in a brand new industry, like just all the details.
Yeah. Same here. That's why most of our target audience are investors, because they don't have to worry about, someone else worries about that, right? They just invest in the company, and the people they invest in, they're doing all the legwork, or the drop shippers or whatever. But there are plenty of people that have created entire products around stuff they've seen in the newsletter or on the site and been successful with it. And so it's definitely possible. But like you said, that's kind of a young man's game, I think, making your own portable bidet. I'm like you. I'm like, I can't really be bothered with that. But I think there's some truth to what you're saying, that it would be helpful to have some follow-up steps. Like, say you wanted to actually create a Snail Mucin topical cream. What's the first step? Because I personally don't know. So I'd be curious to know that too.
Yeah. Well, Brian, these are so many interesting topics and trends, and I definitely encourage people to get your newsletter. I get it, every week, I guess. I get it once a week. I don't get the pro, but I should get the pro. It sounds like it's worth it. And you should come on again every couple of months. Tell us the latest trending topics.
Anytime, James. Happy to do it.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much, Brian. And this has been really fun. And it's so many interesting things to research once I start reading your newsletter. There's really, I always tell, don't go back to an office now. Like, offices, I don't want to say they're always deadening and you can meet friends and you could do meaningful work in an office, but to explore at least these topics as you do, and then to kind of be creative about how you can make it and market it and sell it and be different, you're going to fail a lot. But when it succeeds, it really feels good. You make money and it's worth it. So thanks again for doing this.
No problem, James. Thanks for having me.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.